You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So we are on week one, two. I think this is the third week of this series. What is MC3 City? Which again is not a word, as we've heard, and it's a tongue twister and all of that. As we get into this morning's topic, which I'll share a little bit about, I want to talk to you about what it's like to be slowed down, or to be anchored, or to be tethered, or to be obstacleized. So that's a word now. So in case, just to kind of illustrate this, I want to show you some things where some people were trying to go somewhere or accomplish their, you know, move forward, to go in a forward direction, and were obstacleized by some obstacles. So here's one right here. As this truck is pulling, I don't know if you guys can see it, there we go. It's pulling a jet ski, and of course, the guy's probably like, why am I not getting the gas mileage that I normally get out of this? We'll see how far that goes. But clearly, missing a wheel is a problem when you're driving down the highway. But maybe you're just trying to get to the other side of the lake, and so you just go. And you're like, why does it seem like I'm not going as fast as I normally am? Who knows? And this guy, totally chill, like, oh, guess I'm going the wrong way. I guess I'll turn around and go the other way after completely crashing through all of those things. But, you know, depending on the height, he may be like, what's going on? What's down there? Or maybe you're stuck in a ditch and you just need someone to help pull you out. And so they just, you know, help pull you out of the ditch. That's really out of focus on that big screen. But there's a chain there pulling, and it pulls the entire axle off. And it's funny because, oh, I should have kept the clip going, because the driver gets out, or I don't know if he's the driver or the passenger, but opens the door and he's like, what's going on? And there are no wheels, but he's not going to get where he wants to go. Maybe you're a trucker and you're like, you know what, I just need to get to the next stop. And so he just goes to make sure he gets to his next delivery. Something feels not right. I don't know what it is. It's not cornering like it normally does. Clearly that guy, you know, hey, you got to make your deadlines, right? And if I'm correct, that's a truck, and it lost its trucks. I think those are called trucks underneath a truck. Anybody know? Yes. Yeah, they are. See? That truck lost its trucks. That's a truckless truck, which, anyway, how much truck can it, okay. Anyway, so maybe you're like, okay, you know what? You're in a big ship. You've got to get the cargo to, you know, America in time. And you're like, what is going on here? Because if you notice, this is really long. It looks like a tanker. And at the very end of the Bex ship is where the captain is. And I don't know if he can see this other ship or not. But clearly there is something slowing down the bridge. That's what it's called. The bridge is over there. There's clearly something slowing down. I don't know if the guy tried to turn left in front of him. But you know, that's clearly a no left without the signal kind of intersection there. I know that these things are big and they move quickly and they're hard to stop. It's momentum. I get that. But didn't you see it coming? Okay. Or maybe you're this guy. Like, I just feel like I'm not going as fast as normal. It just seems like there's something going on. And so if you see here, there's actually a person that they've watched. They're going to wave their hand out of the spot there. And this was on the news, and apparently the police actually had to tell the truck driver to pull over because he did not realize that this was happening. But again, he's probably like, man, I'm just not getting the acceleration that I normally get. There's something holding me back. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning, is things that hold us back and things that get in the way. And of course, you can't get anywhere you want to go as effectively if there's something holding you back. If there's, you know, I did a lot of searching, couldn't find, I was sure they're out there, but like a picture of like a boat trying to go somewhere and the anchor is still, you know, down at the bottom of the ocean or whatever, and, you know, it yanks them, but that didn't really happen. Um, but, uh, But so the idea is that you can't get somewhere as effectively if you've got something holding you back. And this morning we're going to look at what it takes for us as a church, because we're looking at who we are as a church. What is MC3 City? If we're going to look at what it takes for us to get rid of the things that are holding us back from helping people follow and grow in Jesus. And so the point this week, as we go through this, is MC3 City is simplicity. And of course, we're looking at, over these 8 weeks of this series, we're looking at our core values, who we are as a church, why we do what we do as a church. And this core value of simplicity is that the short version is we make it easy. And the idea of making it easy is saying, okay, if that truck wanted to get where he was going, it would be helpful if he had, you know, the back half, the back set of wheels. If that boat, that yacht wanted to get where it was going, it'd be helpful if there wasn't, you know, a bunch of sailboats in his way. And these ideas of moving, removing the obstacles. And so here's what the full version of this core value looks like here when it comes to simplicity. The full version on our website, our official version, is that it is easy for the church to overcomplicate the Christian message with too many programs and activities that pull people away from our primary job, following Christ. For this reason, we value keeping our programs and process simple and focusing on what we do best. And so the idea here is that as a church, we are simple. We keep things simple. We make it easy. And again, I am not here to tear down other churches by any means. Like, who are we to talk about us in an arrogant way, saying we're any better than anyone else? And I am not saying that. I'm just saying, what has God called us to do as a church? And God has called us as a church to be simple. We don't need to add programs. We don't need to have a lot of events, because in those things, it ends up pulling people away from the things that really matter sometimes. And, you know, I remember Craig Rochelle, a pastor at a church in Oklahoma, talked about how, you know, his church doesn't have a church softball league. Because in a church softball league, all you have was people from other churches coming together and cursing and swearing like people that don't go to church. So they didn't have a church softball league so that their people can be in softball leagues in the community and actually meeting and spending time in relationships with people that don't know Jesus. And so there's a lot of things that we don't do on purpose. And as we'll see in a little bit, like, sometimes that feels unspiritual. And I know in your discussion guide this week in Prime Groups, we got your first official discussion guide. If you have not signed up, you can sign up out there in the lobby or online at mc3church.org/community. But this week we're going to be looking at kind of the last 3 weeks of this series and discussing, like, what is this idea of simplicity? And sometimes it feels spiritual to be busy, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But we are very on purpose simple. We are very on purpose that we don't do a lot of things. We do a few things. And we want to do them well, or at least attempt to do those things well. And so that is one of our core values. And so I want to look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 12. If you have a paper Bible, the lights are going to turn on here for you to open a paper Bible. No, they just turned off. There we go. And if you have the YouVersion app, the Hebrews is almost at the end. So just zing, scroll all the way. And Kendra and I never get on the same page about this. Are you scrolling down? If you push your finger up, that goes down, right? Like on a thing when you go like that, right? Is that down or up? Anyway, go to the bottom of the books of the Bible, back up a couple, and you'll find Hebrews right there on the list of books in the YouVersion Bible app. And Hebrews 12:1, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. What we do know about the book of Hebrews is it was written specifically to Jewish followers of Jesus. So, and we talked about this last week, you know, what discipleship, disciplicity looks like. And a disciple was a follower of Jesus, and Jesus was Jewish, and how the Jewish culture looked and what it looked like to have a teacher and someone that you followed. And again, you can listen to last week or find it online at mc3church.org. But the idea is that this was written to Jewish people that turned to Jesus, that started following Jesus, Jewish Christians, if you will. And so there are a bunch of things that were explained throughout this book to the Hebrew Christians, to the Jewish Christians. But in 12:1, the author writes this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith..." Now, I need to stop there. Hebrews 11, if you grew up in church, you might be familiar with Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 is what is often called the Hall of Faith. the Hall of Faith, and it's a list of all of these different followers of Jesus, or at least not followers of Jesus because they didn't know Jesus in the Old Testament, but all these people that obeyed God by faith. And the different things, I mean, starting all the way back, like you had Abraham, you've got Moses, way back, you've got Joseph, some of the early ones, and it kind of goes through this whole story of all of these people who followed by faith. And the first half of Hebrews 11 is these amazing, miraculous things that were done. The second half of Hebrews 11 is how some of those people didn't get amazing and miraculous things done. Sometimes they were executed. Sometimes they were sawed in two. Sometimes they were imprisoned. And the whole point was that all of those people followed God by faith. And so Hebrews 12:1, the very next verse after Hebrews 11, says, therefore, since we've got all of these examples of people that have lived by faith, your translation may say this huge cloud of witnesses, and the word cloud does not mean they're angels in heaven watching down. That has nothing to do with that. The word means it's this huge collection, this huge gathering of all these witnesses. Since we have all of these examples, let us. He's going to explain. So because of all these people that went before us, that live by faith, now it's our chance to live by faith. And so he says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And so the author of Hebrews is saying that as followers of Jesus, and of course you don't have to be Jewish to apply this because you're a follower of Jesus, if you believe in his death on the cross for you and his resurrection overcoming your sin. But it's a message to us, to followers of Jesus, to disciples of Jesus, again, going back to last week. And what is this message? This message is that we need to watch out for obstacles. We need to watch out for these things that are slowing us down, these things that are keeping us from moving forward in terms of following Jesus. And so this is going to be specific to us as individuals, but also big picture to us as the church, as MC3, and what it is that God has called us to do when it comes to watching out for these obstacles. And so the first thing that we see here is that we are to drop the weight. Drop the weight. And as you see, I write, this is insidious. And not insidious like the horror movie series or anything like that. But the idea that insidious means it's subtle. It's sneaky. And I think this is the insidious one, and you'll see there's another one that's not so subtle. But this is insidious because the idea of being busy and looking busy feels spiritual. So what the writer of Hebrews says is, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, by the way, the Greek word for witness, because this was written in Greek, is martis, where we get the word martyr. A martyr was someone that is a witness or an example, and we often use that word as someone that dies on behalf of something, but the word literally means a witness. He says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. And so there's some interesting things here. The word strip off really means that. Like, it's kind of this idea of, like, you know, if your clothes are on fire, you want to strip them off real quick. You want to get them off. I mean, I guess you're supposed to stop, drop, and roll. So, all right. So you want to do that too, I suppose. But you know, the idea of strip off, like instantly get rid of it. The word means to completely remove from. So it's not like, when you feel like it, you know, it's an instant, like a violent action almost, of stripping off, getting these things off. And what are the things that we're supposed to do? And is the first thing here is every weight. And I'm going to clarify a couple of things. So the first one is the weight. And this word, it literally means a weight. It means something that slows you down. It means something that keeps you from moving forward. And as we'll see at the end of the verse, as we already looked at, we're going to see this. He's talking about a race here. And this word weight, it could be used in terms of actually cutting weight. Like, you know what? If you're going to run this race, you need to lose a few pounds. It could mean that idea of losing weight in that sense, but it often has more of the idea of getting rid of anything that's going to slow you down. And the thing like would be, you know, if you're going to be running a race, don't carry around a bag of bricks. In modern day Olympics, you know, if you look at, frankly, even if you just jump back from when I was young in like the 80s, your Olympic runners, your Olympic sprinters, they wore the shorty shorts with the big flappy flaps that did all the flapping as they were running. And they had their tank tops that were all loose and they ran and did their thing. Now it's like, you know, completely skin tight body suits. The guys will often shave their legs. They'll shave the arm hair. Swimmers do the same thing. Like, the idea is to get rid of anything that can potentially slow you down. And what is important about this and why this is insidious is that the things that the author of Hebrews is saying to get rid of, this weight, the Greek word there, in case you care, is onkos. This weight, these aren't bad things. There isn't anything wrong with, you know, wearing, well, maybe there is something wrong with wearing shorty shorts. But there isn't anything wrong with, just because they're gross. But there isn't anything wrong with those things. There isn't anything wrong with 10 pounds. There isn't anything wrong with carrying bricks, especially, you know, if you're a bricklayer, it's probably an important part of your job. So those aren't bad things, but they are things that slow you down if you're trying to run a race. And that's why this is insidious. That's why this is sneaky, because the next thing we'll get to in a moment, and we're not there yet, but the next thing we'll get to is obvious. Because we'll see, it's obvious. But this is sneaky because these things we don't necessarily notice. And again, until like the early 2000s, when, you know, these swimmers, and I don't know if, I think they actually outlawed the suits, but swimmers used to wear these body suits. You know, it used to be just the the Speedo. I don't have to demonstrate what the Speedo looks like. It was a Speedo. You know what a Speedo is. And then they got the kind of the long shorts, and they had like the arm. And then there were points where, and I remember it was like in the early 2000s, they came down to their arms and went over their hands, and then they had little ridges. They had little ridges that would give them an extra speed. And I think the Olympic Committee eventually outlawed those these ridges on these skin-tight bodysuits, because every little piece would give them an extra tenth of a second or hundredth of a second, and that hundredth of a second could have been the difference between, you know, no medal and the gold. And so they would do everything they could to make sure that they aren't being slowed down. And so the writer of Hebrews says that is what we need to do, is get rid of these things that are slowing us down, because we have a race to run. This race is to follow Jesus, and we'll get to that in a second. But the things that are slowing us down, they're not bad things, but they get in the way. And as a church, we're like, you know, we are doing things very basic, very simple. We're not doing a lot of things. There are a lot of great things that we could be doing. There are a lot of churches that do tons of great things. Vacation Bible School, really cool. A lot of neat things that happen. I went to Vacation Bible School. I was actually sharing in Prime Basics the other night. That it was Vacation Bible School where I first learned to memorize the books of the Bible when I was in fifth grade. And who knew then that would be kind of a begin of a trajectory that God was working on. But we don't do a Vacation Bible School because we're focusing on what we do and doing it well. And we could spread ourselves thin, because I can tell you from being in church leadership, the Vacation Bible School also says, hey, we need people. No, we need more people. We need more people. If you're watching online, one, you're already aware, probably, that... Is this camera? Am I this camera? This camera. Okay. You're probably already aware because you might be at home sick or you're on vacation. But this room is like half empty because half of the church is on vacation and the other half is home sick. And so we are tight with people right now, trying to figure out how we're going to fit all the pieces in. And we said, hey, let's add a Vacation Bible School. I'm not picking on Vacation Bible School. But if we added that, that's a whole lot more people to say, okay, now we need to get more people to do that. And then it says, I'm going to pull you away from, I don't know, spending time with your next door neighbor that doesn't know Jesus. And I'm going to keep you busy so that every night the church has something going on, so that you're here with all these other people that know Jesus, and not out there with the people that need Jesus. And so again, nothing wrong with those programs, but we're saying, if the writer of Hebrews is right, we need to strip off these things. They're not bad things, but they're things that are slowing us down. Because we have a goal here, and that is to reach people for Jesus. We have a race that God has put in front of us, and that is to reach people that don't know Him. Because we have hope, and there is no hope apart from Jesus. This isn't like some weird marketing campaign. We don't get 12 cents every time someone turns to Jesus. It's because I have something, I believe that I have something that matters to this world. And it has nothing to do with Sean Fitch. It has everything to do with Jesus. And so I can try to move forward in that, but I'm like, no, but I've got all these other things I have to do. And the writer of Hebrews says, no, let's get rid of those weights. Let's strip them off. Not that they're bad things, but they're slowing you down. They're slowing you down from moving forward. And again, the problem here, this is where 21st century American church gets in the way, because being busy looks so spiritual. And frankly, I've heard from many of you, not many of you, from some of you, why don't we do like they do? And the one question would be, why should we? And somewhere underneath that, there's like this, well, because they're probably more spiritual than us because they do more things than we do. And maybe they are. But we have this idea of busy looks spiritual. And having a full account. And I was part of that machine, no question. Before we started MC3, that's part of why MC3 is what it is, almost 12 years ago. And I was a part of that machine. And boy, did I love seeing a full calendar. Oh, I loved it. You know who didn't love it? Everyone related to me. My family. Because, wow, I sure did spend a lot of time with those people at the church, but didn't have much time for my own family, which is a very messed up priority system. We talked about that in the Familying series. And the idea here is like, you know, we're just focusing on doing a few things and doing them well. And it feels spiritual. And I'm reading a book by a guy named Clay Scroggins. It's called How to Lead in a World of Distraction. And he's talking about how, and I found myself doing this kind of thing. He talks about how we like to look busy because when we look busy, we look important. And maybe you're not like that. Maybe you're like, you know what, I am fine just to sit and do nothing. But even on Sunday mornings, and it's been a challenge. And I remember having a conversation with Zach a few months ago going like, you know what, I need to stop being so busy doing all the things here so I can spend time, you know, with people. Spend time interacting with the people of the church, not the technology of the church and those kind of things. Because being busy makes you look important. Sorry, too busy. And that's the whole story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, and actually on the slide with the other series. We did a series called Rest a couple of years ago, and we talked about that passage in, what was it called? It was called Refocus, so you can find that on the slide. But the idea of looking busy, and Jesus said, like, no. Busy is not the answer. Being with me, that's what it's all about. And so this idea of getting rid of the obstacles, of dropping the weight, it's insidious. Again, because it looks spiritual, and sometimes it is. I'm not here to say that other churches, like, if a church does Vacation Bible School, they clearly don't love Jesus. No, they absolutely love Jesus. But it looks, it's kind of sneaky, because there's these things that slow us down. And so the writer of Hebrews says, strip off. Get rid of those weights. So we need to drop the weight. The second thing is we need to stop the sin. Now, this is what I'm calling the obvious. Because, hopefully, we know sin is not something we should be doing. Sin is missing the mark of what God has for us, and we're choosing to do something else. And the writer of Hebrews says, stop the sin. And that should be obvious. Like, we shouldn't be like, oh yeah, this sin, God's totally cool with that one. That's not the way it works. And again, I'm not saying it's easy to stop the sin. I'm not saying that it's that we want to, because if sin wasn't enjoyable, we wouldn't have a problem with it. But we are to stop the sin. And so that's what he goes on and says in the second part of this, is all in chapter or verse 1. It says, let us strip off, the way everyone slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So he says, get rid of the weights that are slowing you down, but also, even more so, especially the sin that trips you up. And so the question is, if you are trying to move forward and say, I want to follow this path, I want to run this race for Jesus, and we're kind of like harboring these sins over here, being like, that one's cool, that's okay, or everyone does it, it's not a big deal. The writer of Hebrews says, stop! Especially those sins. Throw them off. Stop doing these things. Stop talking that way. Stop sleeping with those people. Stop acting that way at work. Stop cutting those people off that don't give you what you want. Like, just all of this stuff. Just stop. Because it's holding you back as well. It easily entangles. And I think it's interesting the way that phrase works. Like, a weight that slows us down and sin that easily trips us up. Or the NIV says, so easily entangles. And I think the issue with entangling is that most of the time you don't see it coming. It's kind of like, oh, I'm cool with this, and then suddenly you're on your face. And I don't know if my mom and dad are watching right now, but a couple weeks ago, my mom fell off of a curb. Ironically, I think she was staring at her phone. Was that what she was doing? She was just walking. She was writing on a piece of paper. Okay. So she was writing on a thing and fell off a curb and broke her nose. And she's got huge black eyes and everything's all swollen. And it was just, it was a regular curb. And, you know, she's a little bit older than me, as my mom would be. But she's not like, you know, in a walker. Like, it was just normal everyday walking. But she got tripped up because she was distracted by writing on a thing. And this is the idea. It's like, it trips us up. It's not something that we plan for. It catches in your feet and you start to go. It's kind of the reason why, you know, however many times you were told as a little kid, unless you couldn't tie your shoes, you know, hey, your shoelace is untied. Shoelace is untied. Why? Because you get tripped up. And it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, like a piece of string that is hanging off your foot. Is that really that big of a deal? It isn't until your feet get tangled and it trips you up. And so the writer of Hebrews here says we need to stop the sin. And again, you know, maybe there's sins we don't realize, there's things we don't realize that are wrong. And I'm not saying that's okay, but I'm just saying a lot of times we do. A lot of times we know this is wrong and we do it. Or we do it with regret, or we kind of have this weird, like, and we'll talk about that in a couple of months in the Drastic series. We have this weird idea that, like, oh, if I do a good thing, then I can do this bad thing. That's all right. God will be okay with it. Like, and there's a whole lot of stuff tied to that. But the idea is get rid of it. And so we are supposed to get rid of those things. And also, when it comes to if we want to see people follow Jesus, your example matters. And I'm not saying that Kirk was dead on. Like, we're not perfect. We absolutely do not pretend to be perfect. But we do everything we can to say, you know what, I want to do my best to follow Jesus because it's for my benefit, frankly. But also, because if I'm trying to offer them something, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, and they look at me going, he hasn't changed you. Why would I want that? So it's part of this message of stopping the sin. And we did a series a number of years ago called Next. Again, that's also on the slide. And one week we talked about this idea of looking inward at our own sin. It was called Expel. That was the name of that week's series. You can find that on the slide to go into more depth on this part of Hebrews 12. So drop the weight, stop the sin, and then finally, train for distance. And I think this is such an important thing, too, is that if you go into, well, if you go into any kind of race without training, you're probably not going to do well. You're probably not going to do well because, you know, maybe you're out of shape. You've never done it. It's been a while. And you're like, oh, I had no problem when I was doing this when I was 25 years ago. You know, like, that was easy. And now you're like, you know, everything. Like, we walked up a lot of stairs the last couple of days. Dude, I was winded. And they were just regular stairs. Like, what is going on? And this idea of if you don't know what you're getting into, you're going to have a problem. And on top of that, what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here isn't a sprint. It's not a short-term run. It's a marathon. It's a long-distance run. And so if you go into this run, into this race, expecting it to be over, and we talked about sprinting a couple months ago. What did I say? An average sprint is like 10 seconds long or something like that. If we go into a sprint thinking in 10 seconds you'll be done, we've missed it because this is not a sprint. And so that's the last part of this passage. It says, strip off every weight, especially the sin, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And so we are to run with endurance. Your translations say run with perseverance. This idea of endurance, of planning on going the distance. Because again, it's a mindset thing. If you don't know it's going to be a long race and you go into it, you're like, that is not what I signed up for. And I don't know if you've ever been to one of those kind of things. Like, that was a number of years ago. We won a contest. We won a contest for a free cruise. And all we had to do was drive to Harrisburg to this place and pick up our two free tickets. After a 2-3 hour timeshare, I wouldn't call it a presentation. I would call it a timeshare shakedown. Like, there were bruisers in the corner that were upset. We're like, oh, okay. And it helped that we have, like, no money. They're like, oh, it's only $50,000 a year.
We got nothing. We can't do that. Oh, but it's only 47 for you. 47,000 extra a year. Yeah, no, we can't do that. Okay, why don't you go over there and Johnny will have your tickets. And you go over like, hey, I'm Johnny. So you want your tickets? You know, it's only $47,000 a year for this timeshare. No, we just want our tickets. Oh, do you? I don't think you do. I don't think you want these tickets. I think you want to buy a timeshare. Like, really, we can't afford this. Okay, fine. Go over to Guido. You want these tickets? I don't know. But, like it's this idea of, like, we're like, we get, I'm not kidding. Like, there was no Guido, and I don't know, I guess that's our inappropriate Italian references or something. Maybe they're mafia references. But the idea was, people were angry at us that we didn't buy the timeshare. By the end of the night, they were like, you're just wasting our time. Here's your tickets. And so we got our free cruise tickets. And I'm telling you, like, we get to our room, we open the door, and it goes, like, that's what we heard the whole time. And it took us like 3 hours to get down to that part of the ship. And then I'm pretty sure, like, there was like a door in the bathroom that would open up, and a guy covered in grease would be like, oh, sorry, I'll be out of your way in a second, because that's the way to get to the engine or something like that. But the point was, what is my point? My point is, we, you know, when you go into something saying, we're just going to get this free thing real quick, and then it turns out to be this super long timeshare, we're upset. We're disappointed. And the writer of Hebrews says, no, let's be prepared. You need to train for a long run here. This isn't a short thing. This is a race that you need to run with perseverance. This is a race that you need to run with endurance. This is something you need to plan on that's going to take a lot of work. And so he says, prepare for that. And I just want to say, as a church, we need to be prepared for that. We need to know that, okay, we need to get rid of the things that are slowing us down, not do all these things that look busy and spiritual, certainly get rid of the sin in our lives, work on dealing with that, but then also say, this is going to be hard work. This is going to be hard work. And let me say this. It is easier, just think practically, it is easier for me, or you, to take vegetables from your neighbor's garden than it is to grow your own. Would you agree with that? It's easier to take vegetables from your neighbor's garden unless they like live behind a giant fortified fence with lasers that shoot you and sharks and all that. But in general, it is easier to take vegetables from your neighbor's garden than to grow your own. And what we are trying to do as a church, what we've been set out from 12 years ago, was we're not trying to reach people that already go to church. We're not. Like, if people go to church somewhere, that's great. Go, grow. We're here to reach people that don't. And that takes a lot more work. And you don't see the payoff right away. And sometimes you are fertilizing and tilling the soil for years before you see results. And sometimes you don't see results at all. But we're not here to steal other people's vegetables. God hasn't called us to say, let's take people from other churches. And I think we could do a pretty cool job with that. I think we could. But that's not why we exist. People from other churches don't need Jesus because they know Jesus. We need to go to people that need Jesus. And so because of that, I want to say to all of you, especially if you're in a ministry team role and you're like, man, this is hard work. We're not seeing the results that we'd love to see. We don't have the numbers growing and growing. That's okay, because we're doing the hard work. Because we're trying to reach people that no one else is reaching. And to reach people that no one else is reaching, we have to do things that no one else is doing. And that's why we stay simple. That's why we stay focused on a few things. So we need to watch out for those obstacles. We need to drop the weight. And as a church, we get rid of the things that take us, that distract us from doing the things that God has called us to do, and to do them well. And I mean, there are so many things that are done well here, and I know we joke about it, but we have an incredibly talented group of musicians on this stage. I have never seen, in my presence, I'm sure on TV, and I'm sure the people that sell all the CDs and stuff, CDs, that sell the digital downloads, I'm sure they have incredible musicians, but in person, I've never seen this talented group of people, and we're here giving our best. They practice for a couple of hours every week and then do like a 20-minute sound check every Sunday to get it as good as possible. We've got backdrops. I just want to call this out, right? This, can you see that on the camera? See one of these on the camera? This is not printed. They made this by hand. They made that by hand. Like, I'm like, what? I was like, so where did you get them printed? Like, oh, we did that. Like, because we want to do things and do them well, and there's a backdrop going to bring people to Jesus. Probably not in itself, but it's part of the package just because we want to communicate things and communicate them in a compelling way. And so we want to do that well. We want to do the worship experience. We want it to do well, and I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to stop talking, and then we'll come back to this. But the point for this week is that MC3 City is simplicity. We want to make it easy. We don't want to add all these obstacles, all these barriers, all these weights, all these things that keep people from actually following Jesus and to keep you as people in MC3 from growing because you're so busy doing that you're not able to be being. Yeah, that's right. So when I was in, I was a manager at Dairy Queen. My freshman year of college, University of Delaware, we talked about that last week. You remember them, amazing football team. One of the things we had to do for wet walnuts, do you know what wet walnuts are? They're just gross. I don't know why people like them. Walnuts are gross. Wet walnuts are even grosser. Or for our strawberry syrup, our strawberry topping, we had to make what's called simple syrup. And simple syrup really is simple. It is equal parts sugar and water. And you put it together. And then that's simple syrup. And you pour simple syrup over walnuts. And then people are like, I want that on my ice cream. Like, what? Get out of here. Go somewhere else. And simple syrup was just simple syrup that you put on top of things. And it, you know, I guess kept it simple. So we're going to talk about a little simple syrup when it comes to church. When it comes to doing what it is that God has called us to do, what God has called everyone to do when it comes to being followers of Jesus. And the first thing I want to talk about is that Jesus made it simple. Jesus made it simple. Now, this is leading from last week. And one of the things that we talked about last week, and again, if you weren't here, you can listen to it online or watch the live stream in the archive section of our website. But we talked about how a rabbi would choose followers, and that rabbi would live life, and the followers would follow him. And the word that we use, the fancy word for a follower, is a disciple. And they would live life with them, and they would do what they did. And the rabbi, the way a rabbi would lead, he kind of had his own interpretation, his own understanding of the Bible. And so you have Jesus where he would say, you know, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you, that happens a lot with Jesus in the Gospels. You've heard that it said, you know, do not murder. But I say to you, if you speak to someone in anger, you've committed a murder in your heart. Like, that was Jesus saying, here's my interpretation of the Old Testament law, because the Pharisees had really messed it up. And he said, and that interpretation, their understanding, every rabbi had that group, that set of understanding, and that was called their yoke. That was their kind of way they interpreted the law. That was the way they interpreted what God had instructed to the people. And so Jesus, as a rabbi, with disciples, with followers, he had his own way, and his way being that he was fully man and fully God, his way was the right way, completely perfect. He had his own way of interpreting the Scripture. So he had his yoke. And in Matthew chapter 11, you probably have heard this passage so many times, even if you never grew up in church. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And so, you know, again, if you're like, why? Until now, maybe you just thought that was the middle part of the egg. That Jesus, like, okay, he would hit them with eggs, and that was his yoke. Wow. That could have been the cough. I needed a cricket, and that would have been great. But the idea of his teaching, and so Jesus was saying, look, followers, people of Israel at the time, like, you're used to following this yoke of the Pharisees, these rules that the Pharisees have created, and they were the Jewish religious leaders. They've created all these rules on top of rules on top of rules on top of rules. And like, some of the rules were things like it would be cool for them to walk around with a bruise, or like my mom, they had a black eye. They would use that as a badge of honor and be like, that's because I looked away when there was a woman, and therefore I did not lust, so I ran into a pole and have a bruise on my eye. You know, and I don't know why they talk with a British accent, but they do in the Chosen. So
But the you know, this idea of like extra rules on top of rules to look so spiritual, and Jesus is like, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not complicated. It's not layers upon layers upon layers. It's not about your performance that gets you right with me. He says, follow me. If you're weary, if you're burdened, if you're tired of trying to follow all the rules and go through all the hoops and deal with all the steps, he says, follow me. Because my yoke, the way I teach, it's easy. And my burden is light. And so Jesus shows up on the scene and says right away, it's not about being complicated. It's not about being busy. It's about being simple. It's about being simple and following me. And also in the rest series, we talked about, 1 week was called Receive, and we talked about this passage more in depth, and you can find that as well. But the idea is that Jesus said, look, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be all these hoops. It doesn't have to be all these steps. It doesn't have to be all this busyness. He says, my yoke, my way of teaching, it's easy. My burden, it's light. Jesus made it simple. So Jesus starts off, that's kind of his, you know, he shows up on the scene, and obviously the church, his foundation is Jesus. But then the church kind of moves on. So Jesus made it simple, but then the early church, they also made it simple. And there's this passage in Acts chapter 15. I talked about it in depth last year during the Inside MC3 series, and that's also, a couple of years ago. During the Inside MC3 series, that was a series we did years and years ago. That's also another thing. Invitation. But here's this deal. In Acts chapter 15, and I'm going to read it and skip through. If you want to turn there, if you want to read it later on your own, you can, and look at it some more in depth. But the church had started, and there are missionaries, that's a fancy word for people, that were followers of Jesus that went out to tell other people about Jesus. So in essence, that's kind of what we're supposed to be, you know, right here in Mifflin County. And they were going out, and as they were out there, it says, well, Paul and Barnabas, who were two of the guys, obviously Paul being a big deal, he wrote most of the New Testament, or at least half of it. While Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch of Syria, some men from Judea arrived and began to teach the believers. Unless you are circumcised as required by the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. And so these men from Judea, what that means is they were Jewish, but they were talking to the believers. So they were going to people that had turned to Jesus, which is basically the point of the book of Hebrews too. These were Jewish people that started following Jesus. So these Jews, which by the way it was a cultural thing, but it's also a blood thing. You know, if you're Jewish, like you can be Jewish right now if your ancestry is traced to Jewish people. And so it wasn't just a choice, but these Jewish people turned from the Jewish law, the Jewish rules, to follow Jesus. And one of the signs of the old covenant, of the old law that Jews had, was circumcision. And circumcision, it's just, you know, snip the tip. Snip the tip, we'll just leave it at that. And circumcision was, here's the crazy thing, and I said this before, like, that was the sign that you were under the Old Testament law, that you were following God's laws. It's a sign. Like, a sign is something you're like, oh, there's a sign, I should turn left. Oh, that's a stop sign, I should stop. A sign is something you look at, and you're like, oh, clearly, this is what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how that worked. I'm just like, hey, oh yeah, okay, come on in. Like, I don't know. But anyway, that was the law, and the circumcision was tied to it. But Paul and Jesus came along and said, no, wait, that's the old covenant. That's done away with. That is the past. And so it says that Paul and Barnabas disagreed with them, arguing vehemently. Because what these guys were saying is that you just simply believe in Jesus and do this thing. So it's Jesus plus this sign, plus works. Jesus plus. And Paul and Barnabas were like, no, it is not Jesus plus. It's just Jesus. That's the beauty of it. That's why Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because there aren't all these extra rules. It's simply believing. And so it says, finally, the church, and now the church at this point was thousands of people, but it wasn't huge. You know, it was big locally, but it certainly wasn't worldwide. It was a small group. So they decided to send Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem, which is where the church began, accompanied by some local believers to talk to the apostles and elders about this question. So they're like, we don't know what to do. Let's go back to headquarters and have a chat. That's basically what it was.
You know, I'm going to defer back to headquarters. And so it continues on. It says, at the meeting, next slide, at the meeting, and I'm jumping a lot. We crashed. At the meeting, there we go. At the meeting, after a long discussion, so they're talking about it. What should we do? How should we handle this? Peter stood, and Peter being, you know, one of the disciples of Jesus, denied Jesus three times and all that. Peter stood up, and Peter was the one in Acts chapter 2, which we'll get to, talked about, you know, thousands of people came to Jesus that day because he shared the message of what Jesus did, the gospel message, the good news the first time. He gets up. So it's a big deal. Peter, you want to listen when Peter's talking. So Peter got up and addressed them, and he said, God made no distinction between us, meaning Jewish people, and them, meaning what were Gentiles, which means people that are not Jewish. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. So like, Peter's like, Jewish people, Jesus has cleansed their hearts. And non-Jewish people, Jesus cleansed them. He wasn't like, oh, you know what, you're not as cool as us, you're second class. He says he cleansed their hearts. So why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers, the Gentiles meaning non-Jewish, why are you Jewish people challenging? God said it was cool, but now you're going, no, we need to burden them. Burden, you hear that word? These Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear. So he says, why are you trying to add to these non-Jewish people this yoke, this set of teaching, these rules on top of what God has already done? And then he says, and frankly, we don't like it very much. We weren't able to bear it, neither were our ancestors. None of them were like, hey, circumcision sounds great. Let's do it. And we do it now with infants often, but dude, these are men, grown men. Just not pleasant. He's like, we didn't like it either. So why would we make them have to do it? And so he goes on and says, we believe that we are all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. So then it goes on and says, everyone listened quietly as Barnabas and Paul talked about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. So they're like, let me just tell you, if you're not sure whether God is working in the lives of non-Jewish people, here's some things that he's done. Here's some miracles. Here's some things. So God clearly is working in people that are not circumcised. And it says, when they had finished, James stood. Now, James is the author of the book of James and the brother, half-brother of Jesus. It says, James stood and said, and he shared some things, and then he said, and so my judgment, kind of explaining, agreeing with Peter, my judgment is that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. And so James says, look, church, we can't make it difficult for people that want to come to Jesus. We can't add things to make it more complicated for people that want to follow Christ. It is my judgment that we should not make it difficult for people that want to turn to God. And that's what we are doing here. We want to make it not difficult. We have an environment. I'm wearing jeans. I was wearing shorts, but then it's like a high of 60 today. We're casual because on purpose. We want people to feel comfortable in here. We're in a garage because we want people to feel comfortable in here. We have lights. We have a loud music because we want people to feel comfortable in here. If you want to go to a church that feels churchy, there's plenty of them. That's great. But we're not looking to reach church people, so we're doing things in a way that no one else does it, so that those people will come here and feel comfortable, and we're not making it difficult for them to want to follow God. That's why we're doing it. That's what Simple is all about. And that's what the early church did. James is like, why are we trying to add to these burdens? Let's make it easy. Jesus made it easy. We're going to make it easy. And so finally, MC3 makes it simple as well. And we talked about this the very first week of the series when you watched me on video. Acts chapter 2, and I'm not going to read it just because we don't have time. I did read through it. But this idea of our C3 process is based on Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. And you can show it on the screen. There it is. See? There's 42, and it continues on. There it is. Okay. And you can read that on your own. We went through it that first week. But the idea is that we looked at that passage and said, if we're going to plant a church, if we're going to start a church, let's look at what the church first did. And we found these three key things. We saw that they were involved together in community. We saw that they were in congregation. They were worshiping together. And we saw that they cared for the needs of others. And so as a church, we said, if we care about community, then we're going to have a program for that. And so that's what prime groups are. And we want you all to be in a prime group. We want you to have those relationships, that community, that connection with other people. We have the worship experience in here, and everything we do is very on purpose to try to make it easy for people that want to turn to God. Instead of adding barriers, instead of making the yoke heavy and the burden complicated, we make it simple. And so we have an environment that we hope is as casual as we can be. And then we have C3 opportunities, an opportunity for us to care for one another. And what we don't do is VBS. There's nothing wrong with that. We don't do Awana. We don't do, I don't know, motorcycle club. We don't do ladies' Bible study. There's a lot of things. There's nothing wrong with those things. But we're saying we want to focus on doing these things well. And by the way, the kids in Ignition are learning the same things. And they actually have a time for discussion. And they're in here with us during the music so that they can worship. Our students do the same thing. They go through the discussion. God, like, this process and keeping it simple affects every area of our church. From MC3 family to MC3 student to you as adults. And we're not apologizing for that. And it might seem less spiritual. And maybe you're like, you know what, I really need a full calendar and I need to do things a lot. I need to have, like, I can't be on my own and bored. Then that's fine. There are plenty of churches that you can do that. But we want to make it simple. Jesus made it simple. The early church made it simple. MC3 makes it simple. And the core value, the point for this morning is MC3 is simplicity. We make it easy. And that's the goal. That's why. Because we want to get rid of all these things that can keep people from following Jesus. Say, let's just focus on doing a few things and doing them well. Doing the things that matter. Getting rid of the burdens that are slowing us down. Getting rid of the things that are keeping us from moving forward. These obstacles. Unsticking the car from underneath the back of the trailer so that we can move forward on this, not short race, but this long race to reach people for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your example. We are imperfect. We are imperfect people that are in desperate need of Jesus. And there's a world out there that is just as imperfect as we are, just as in desperate need of hope and in need of Jesus. And God, as we attempt in our frailty, in our failure, in our humanness, to lead your church, to guide your church, God, we want to do the best we can. And we don't want to do it for ourselves. We don't want to do it for our credit or to feel good. We want to do it so that people that don't know Jesus can find you. So that we're not making it difficult for people that want to turn to God. And I just pray that you would help us to do that. I pray for us as a church, for everyone watching, listening, praying, sitting in this room, that we together would do our best to remove the obstacles that keep people from following you. And as we look at our own lives, God, I pray that you would help us to remove the weights. Maybe there are some very good things that we are doing that we need to stop doing so that we can get rid of the good for the sake of the best. I pray that if there's sin in our lives, we would be real about it and deal with it. Not perfect, knowing that we need a Savior, but not ignoring it and taking the steps. And God, I pray that as we look at this race before us, that we would recognize that it is not going to be easy. You never promise easy. You promise simple. You promise light. And I pray that we would lean on you through the hard marathon that we have before us as we seek to draw people to Jesus and as we seek to grow closer to you in our own hearts and our own lives. It's in His name we pray. Amen.